This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, thank you for everyone that you've gathered here. Father, you said that where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, there you are in the midst of them. Lord, we pray indeed, Lord, that you will be in our midst, and the evidence of your being in our midst, Lord, will be that we will be transformed into your likeness. Father, not just emotions or just us saying and thinking that, yeah, we felt the presence of God. But Lord, but as Joe was sharing, Lord, that the evidence, Lord, that Jesus is in our midst will be that there will be a victorious life that comes out of it. That week after week, we see the victory of Jesus in our lives. For him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, we pray that that will be increasingly true for us, part of our daily experience, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you'd say fascinated, but I've been thinking a lot about this one person in the Bible, Rahab. And I was sharing that there's a Hollywood Hall of Fame, and then there's the Bible equivalent of that is the Hall of Faith. That's in Hebrews 11. And there you have people who demonstrated great faith. And it is interesting because it's interesting to see who's mentioned there and who is not. And I noted on the first part of this message on Friday, I noted that Elisha, for example, is not mentioned there. You would think that a person who called fire from heaven so many times and split the Jordan and that kind of thing and was taken to heaven in fiery chariots would have made it to that list, but he does not. But one person that you would not expect to be there, really, is Rahab. She's mentioned there. Now, she didn't really do, if you look at it, she didn't really do anything amazing or something. She didn't do any miracles, that is. But I've been seeing that there is something here in the story of this woman that's very useful for us. So I'd like us to read it. If you don't mind, can we read Joshua chapter 2? We'll read the whole chapter. Since we're so few here, we can do such things. Someone starts when you reach a stopping point. You've read a couple of verses or so, and let someone else pick it up from there, and we'll go around. Praise God. So, Jericho represents something. And you'll see that, I'll show you another passage of the Bible that underscores that. Jericho represents the city where people have become so disobedient, so hardened against God, that God has decided to wipe them out. It represents the place where people have opposed God, have built walls of resistance against him. And because of that, they've gone so far that God has decreed destruction over them. That's what Jericho represents. And that's why when it was destroyed, Joshua put a curse on anyone who would try to rebuild it. It represents the place where those who don't want to be with God go and gather, congregate, and build their walls against God. And so you always see that in the Word of God. You see Jesus when he's giving the story of the Good Samaritan. He said there was a man who was going from Jerusalem, the place where God is, to Jericho, the place of the rebels. And as he's going down, he's attacked by a mob and killed and destroyed, almost dies on the road. It is because of that Jericho represents the place where the rebels gather and build up their resistance against God. And there's something that people often bring up about the Bible, where there's these wars and there's these killings and things like that. There's something to realize is that God judges sin. And it was not just that God was like, oh, yeah, you guys need the land, so what about going and killing these people so you get their land? It wasn't like that. It was that the people had sinned so much against God and done so much evil that God decreed destruction against them. And when the Israelites moved into that land and they did the same thing, God also sent a king, a Babylonian king, to come and do the same thing to them. And it is, and today, in this world that we live in, God has decreed judgment against this world. There comes a day, the Bible says, where everything will be burned up. There comes a day, the Bible calls it the great and terrible day of the Lord, where after so many thousands of years of God putting up with the sins of man, God will finally bring judgment over the whole earth. It is what is spoken about in the prophets about the great and terrible day of the Lord. There is a death sentence that hangs over all sinners, over all who have spent their whole lifetime in a life of rebellion and rebellion against God. And in Jericho, God had said to them, the city was so wicked, God had said to them, to the Israelites, that you will not even take the plunder. Even the things that the people possessed was considered filthy by God. It was to be burnt up completely. People and everything, and then God wanted to deal away with that whole generation of people from Jericho, and all and everything that they had, and everything that would even be a remembrance of that city. So, however, God decided to send these two spies. And these spies in this story represent Christ. It represents when God comes into a town of rebels, a town of where the vast majority, almost everyone, has given up on God and has just given themselves over to wickedness. In that place, God sends his son. And the people who receive, and it is amazing that one person receives them. And it is not the most godly person of Jericho. It's a prostitute, a harlot. You know, some people say that she had some kind of, I don't know, motel or something. She rented rooms, and so that's why these people went and stayed over there. But in that town, when God looked for a place to spend the night, where God looked for a place for his messengers to stay, he chose this woman, the prostitute. Now, she, in a city that was already wicked, you would expect that a prostitute of that city is an even more wicked person than the average person in that city. And that is the first miracle here, and that is what I like this story a lot, is that when God sent Unlike, for example, when you look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent people there. God sent two angels. At least they found Lot. They found the one man who was kind of righteous in there, and they stayed there. In this story, they went to the worst person that you could find in the worst town. The most filthy person that even her fellow Jerichoan sinners would have considered a bad person. That's where God went. And today, even in this city, where the vast majority and overall people have turned away from God, God still looks for even the worst person in that city who wants to open their heart up to God. And it gives me hope that even in a city where God has decreed destruction for everyone, there can still be one person there whose heart will open to the gospel, whose heart will open to Jesus Christ. There's still, you can find one person there whose heart will be open. And God's heart still looks for such people, even though He has decreed destruction and there is a judgment over all sinners. God's still looking for one person, even in the worst town, that would open their heart to Him and would welcome and will welcome Christ in. And this is what this prostitute did. She opened her house to these men, and they came in. And it is, yesterday I went to the Commons, and I was just the Boston Commons, just talking to people. And one more time I saw the lostness of the town. I saw the hardness of people, the pride, the arrogance, the sense of we don't need God, the sense of I've got everything I need. Thank you very much. The sense of even those that were clearly empty, lonely, and broken, and you could just see the hardness. And something in you want to say, God, can this city ever be saved? But in the midst of that, even if it were a city where God had decreed complete destruction for, and He hasn't for Boston, even there you can find one person who will open their hearts up to God and will be willing to have Him come in. And this is what this lady did. She opened her heart to Christ, so to say, and these people of God came into her house. And this is what happens when you realize that you might have spent your whole life being worse than the worst person in the town. You might have spent your life privately or outwardly being worse than the worst person in your town. That does not disqualify you from having God come into your house, come into your life. Even if you were the Rahab of Boston, and you probably aren't, and if you are, praise the Lord, I'm glad that God found you. But even if you were the worst person in this town, God would still be willing to come into your house if you were to open your heart to Him. God would still be willing to come into your heart if you were willing to open your heart to it. There's a wonderful message here. That's from the life of this woman. The worst person in the worst city, condemned to the worst destruction, God still went and found a place in this person's life. Now here's what happens. Quickly, as soon as these men came there, the Bible says that the king of Jericho was told, "Look, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. This represents this king and the people that are working for him, represents the world headed by the devil. And what happens is that as soon as you make that room for God in your life, as soon as you accept Christ into your life, as soon as the life of God begins to grow in you, the world would send something your way to intimidate that life and try to kill the Christ that is growing in you. This is always true, and I've seen it over and over. I've seen people who become interested in the things of God. They begin to open their hearts. I've seen this over and over. They begin to open their hearts to Christ. But then, as Satan sees the life of God just beginning to grow into that person's life, he will try and come to attack it. Just as a person is turning to God, oh, the devil will bring them that boyfriend that they broke up with a long time ago and whom they always have been wanting to get back with and would never wanted to get back together with them. They'll show up on the day after they give their lives to Christ to try to lure them away from God. Something will come their way and say, no, you can't do this. Or the devil will come and tell them that if you cannot become a Christian, you'll suffer at your job, you'll suffer socially, you're going to lose your friends, and all these things. It's all calculated to quickly come and kill, and it happens at the very beginning. And every time you make more room for God, every time you begin, even after you, years after you've given your life to Christ, every time that you begin to make a move towards deepening your life, your walk with God, and the devil sees that, he will try to come and kill that as quickly as he can. Make a decision. Say to yourself, I'm going to seek God this week more than I've ever had. And I guarantee you, you will have things that will come your way. You will have the most disrupted week you've ever had. As soon as Satan sees that you're trying to set your heart on God, he will try to come after you to try to destroy that. And there is a battle that you must battle now. There's a battle you must fight. You must resist that. And now this woman didn't do it the right way. She actually lied. And in the process of people growing in the Lord and trying to maintain that life with God, they'll make mistakes. They won't always do things the correct way. And she was clearly not a perfect person yet at this time. However, there was something in there. And if there's anything here that in what I'm saying today that I want you to remember is this. When the world came against her welcoming God into her life, this woman would not let it happen. She put herself at risk. She put her family at risk by having these men stay over at her place. And she said to herself, no, I will not hand over these men to you, is what essentially she was saying. No, I will not let this world kill the Christ that's growing in me. I will not allow the world or anything to come and steal the life of God in me. I've seen something. I have seen something. God has opened my eyes to see something. And I am not going to let intimidation or the pressures of the world come and take it away from me. I've seen a lot of people who have lost God and lost the best that God had for them because they compromised, because the world told them, you're going to lose if you keep Jesus Christ in your life. If you keep God in your life, you're going to lose. Your family is going to suffer. Your career is going to suffer. Your social connections are going to suffer. Just compromise a little bit. And I've seen people do that, trading Jesus for a little bit of acceptance by the world, trading a little bit of their moral rectitude for a little bit of acceptance by the world. And it is a real loss. And usually you can never have both. You lose one and gain the other, or you gain one and lose the other. With this woman, the thing that tells you that this was a spiritual transformation, and not just she wasn't just a harlot who welcomed two visitors. You see that here. Look at verse 8. Look at what she tells this man. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are meeting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorite east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our heart melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. This is a revelation. This woman who had lived in this city for so long, finally, by some grace of God, her eyes were open to see that there is a God, the God of Israel, who is God in heaven and God on earth. And because she saw that, she made the decision, it is better off for me to try to court favor with this God than favor with the king of Jericho. She sat there and told herself, here is a God who parted the Red Sea and who destroyed the enemies of his people. This must be the God of heaven and the God of earth. And whatever she was before, whether she worshipped some idols or whether she was an atheist or whether she just believed in making money as a prostitute, all that came to a sudden end when she realized that there is a God in heaven, and he is so real, I am willing to go even against the king of Jericho in order for me to please this God. I will be safer and better off under the wings of this God than I will be in the security of this city, of this wall, and of this king. That is conversion. Conversion is when a person's eyes are open to see that this world is doomed and going nowhere, but that there is a God in heaven under whose wings and whose shadows one can go. A God so great that he deserves our obedience. He deserves our holy fear. That is conversion. That is the gospel. The Bible says in Acts that Peter and the apostle they said with many other words, they exhorted the people, save yourself from this wicked generation. They were telling them, this generation is headed to destruction. Don't be destroyed with this generation. Come under the wings of God through Christ. And that was the transformation that took place in this woman's heart. And that is the greatest of all miracles. It is greater than bringing down fire from heaven. It is greater than doing all these other things. It is the reason why this woman is mentioned in Hebrews 11. She, being from a prostitute in the worst town, to someone who took a step back and beheld the awesomeness of the God of heaven and the God of earth, and decided to take sides with them against the world. That is a miracle. It is a miracle when one sinner living in a wicked generation has their eyes open and sees the glory of Jesus and decide to risk everything because they believe firmly in their heart that God is not going to let them down. That if she helped the people of God, of this God, she will be safe. And therefore, she tells them that, would you save me? She says that she actually used the word save in verse 13. That you will spare my life, the lives of my father and mother, brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. She realized that this God could save her from death, and not just her, but her entire family. So this prostitute, by her faith in God, saved herself and saved her whole family. And she said to these people, what will be the sign? And they gave her the sign. It was a scarlet ribbon to put by her window. That scarlet ribbon, of course, representing the blood of Jesus Christ. This was a conversion of someone who was spared the judgment that was to come on this world through Christ by coming under the wings of the God of heaven. That is a miracle. Now, I want to ask you, how is it with you? Have you seen the glory of God? Have you seen God? Has the God of heaven and the God of earth, before whom we must surrender everything, besides whom they, even if it were the President of the United States coming and telling you to disobey, you will not disobey. Even if the whole world gathered and told you to compromise and trade a little bit of your walk with God from some worldly gain, will you do it? Do I have enough faith in God to say no? Actually, if I do what you're telling me, I will lose. What would have happened to this woman if she had done what this king had asked her to do and handed over these spies? What would have happened? She would have been killed along with everyone else in Jericho. She actually would have lost. We actually lose when we compromise and sell out our Christian principles to please the world. We end up neither gaining the world nor winning Christ either. We end up losing, but this woman did not. God wants you and your family to be saved. God wants me and my family. God wants you and the people around you. I was saying the other day, there's a circle. You're not responsible for saving the whole city. This woman was not responsible for saving all of Jericho. But she had a circle of people that depended on her. It included her parents. It included her mother. It included her relatives. She had a circle of people around her that she was responsible for. And she managed to get those people saved. You have that kind of circle. You should tell yourself, God, I don't want it to be one day that I die and my family go to hell. I want the people who are around me to be saved. I want my neighbors to come to Christ. I want my coworkers, the people you've brought on my path, you specially brought on my path, I want them to be saved. This is what God does if we believe Him, if we have faith. And therefore, in Hebrews 11, the Bible tells us that Hebrews 11, verse 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. We talked about that on Friday. That represented prayer. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. This is what I was saying earlier. The city of Jericho was destroyed, not because God just wanted to give His people some real estate. It was because the city had disobeyed so much, there was nothing else God could do with them but to get rid of them. And by faith, Rahab was not killed with those who were disobedient because she welcomed the spies. What was the faith? The faith was that she put God, the God of heaven, on one side and put the king of Jericho and his people on one side. And she said, I'm going to bet it on God. I'm going to please God. I'm going to seek the favor of God and not of this king. Because of that, she was spared. Because she recognized that God was stronger than these people. And she recognized that God could save her from the destruction he was bringing upon Jericho. This woman was spared. And she kept those people. That is faith. And not only was she saved from death, the transformation that happened to this woman's life was amazing, because it was not like people today who say they're saved, but then their lives today is the same tomorrow. Not only did she get saved from death, from the judgment, she also got saved from her sinful lifestyle. How do I know that? Because after she was spared the destruction, she didn't go back and continue to be a prostitute now among the Israelites. She married, she got married to a man by the name of Salmon, who gave birth to a man by the name of Boaz, who married a lady by the name of Ruth, gave birth to a son called Obed, who gave birth to a man called Jesse, who gave birth to a man called David, who became the king and the ancestor. When you go on and read the genealogy of Jesus, this woman is there. This is a miracle, from the prostitute in the worst town to the great-great-grandmother of the greatest king of Israel and an ancestor of Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. And that's the transformation that God still works out today. He takes the worst sinners and he gives them an inheritance with Christ. It is an amazing thing. It is a miracle worth spending some time on and meditating upon. What a change, what a journey for a woman in a city doomed to destruction. By faith, she went from being the prostitute there to being the ancestor of the greatest king of Israel, and arguably the greatest king ever, from God's point of view, anyways. And God still works that out today in our lives. He wants to come in where there has been death, where there has been sin, where there's been brokenness. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring salvation. He wants to bring restoration. And he wants to use you to save not just your family, but down the road to be a blessing to many other people. Amen.